Galatians 3, verses 23 to 29. And faith, law, and being children of God is predominantly what there is there. And to start with, I would like Christine to come and read verses 23 to 29.
Before the coming of this faith, we were held in custody under the law, locked up until the faith that was to come would be revealed. So the law was our guardian until Christ came, that we might be justified by faith. Now that this faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian. So in Christ Jesus, you are all children of God through faith. For all of you were baptized into Christ, have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise.
So the essential truth at the heart of Galatians is quite simple. We're justified by faith. Justified by faith. They're words that we use all the time. Sanctified by obeying God through the grace and power of Christ and the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, none of this happens. And it's not by our attempts to work within the law, because that doesn't work either. Paul wrote this letter to the Galatians. There's some debate as whether it was to the north or the south. It doesn't really matter anyway. I need to apologize to a few people who've heard this before. Sorry. There's not much else I can say about it. I'll do my best not to repeat too much of it, except what I've got to repeat. And many people have seen it as a very instructional and rather angry letter to the Galatians. It was addressed to people called the Judaizers. The Judaizers were Jewish Christians, and I sometimes wonder whether I'm one of them. Do I want everything to be the way I want it? Do I want, in a manner of speaking, circumcision for all Gentiles? Do I want the rituals? Do I want the rites? Do I want to see what I see as being right and proper and correct and all of that? Or do I understand that adopting Old Testament practices maybe isn't what all this is about? And Martin Luther said that this book was absolute dynamite. He basically evolved part of the theology of Reformation on the basis of Galatians 3 and on the basis of the law not being able to hold us. So, before my faith in Jesus, before I believed that Jesus is our Redeemer, or our Savior, and sometimes the two words are equated, sometimes they're not, but this is neither the time nor perhaps the place to go into more of that. Before any of that, I was a prisoner within the law. Actually, it was impossible to keep, and yet at the same time, it was a help to me. Was I singing? Possibly. I was safe, yes, but the very presence of some kind of a cage, of boundary, tends to mean that I'm not free. And it doesn't really matter how hard I try, because I'm a human being, I will always fall short of the glory of God. I was born that way. Oh, we were all born that way. Not easy. So the law is a guardian, it's a bar against my excesses, and I have many. But like all restraints, of course, it curtails my freedom, which means I'm fenced in. I can't get out. There has to be a solution to this. Christ came that we might be justified by faith, verse 24. God somehow gave his only son. God somehow gave Jesus Christ to die for me in my place on the cross. I don't understand that. But I have a choice. I either believe that or I walk the other way. God sent Jesus to take what I deserve. Even if, really, on the whole, I'm not a bad person. Well, on Mondays anyway. So when and if I accept Jesus Christ, I'm free of the law as a guardian. I'm free of the law as in the Old Testament. But please remember Jesus said, I haven't come to abolish the law. I've come to fulfill the law. Again, there's an awful lot in there. And this is the bit that gets me. Somehow, when God looks at me, he looks at me through Jesus. So there's God, there's me, and there's Jesus in between. And so I'm a child of God. You're a child of God. And as we are now clothed with Christ, the little rain jacket is me. The big rain jacket is Jesus. And somehow, when God looks at me, I have Jesus' big jacket on. Good job, too. So when I accept the gift given to me by God through the terrible death of Jesus, no babysitter, no law, I'm now in Christ Jesus. I don't think we can ever have enough emphasis on that. It would probably take a lifetime. I'd like you to pull out the word which to you is the most important in there. Without faith in Jesus, it is impossible to please God. You may want to think about it. You may want to do it with the person next to you. You've only got 30 seconds. Because I've only got 20 minutes. And being a teacher for 24 years, I know about timing. Well, some of the time anyway. So we then get to verse 28. We are all one in Christ Jesus through faith in him. Really? Do I really, really, really believe that? Do I believe that for me? Do I believe it for other people who are also Christians? So, when I trust and believe in Jesus, I become a child of God. I'm adopted by God as a child. And so, automatically, I'm in his family. And if I'm in his family, I'm one of his heirs. And therefore, I'm part of the whole of the Christians. From Abraham to the time of the kingdom of God established on earth, which hasn't quite happened yet. That's got a lot of consequences. How does it change me? How does it change the church? No second-class citizens, really? Am I sure about that? Is there a part of me that thinks, you've made a right mess of bringing up your children? I'm saying that to myself. Do I somehow, perhaps, feel that if someone perhaps he's not in the best of mental health, that somehow maybe they're a second-class citizen? Do I perhaps, especially today, think of people who either are estranged from their families, which is the case with me to some extent, or who have no children for whatever reason, or who are single, or who are divorced, again, for whatever reason? Do I somehow feel that they don't quite measure up? I don't quite measure up? It isn't just me, it's lots of us. And there are many other things, of course. But there are no first-class and no second-class citizens in the kingdom of God and in the family of God. And I have to work at that. We all have to work at that. That is a personal responsibility. We are all reconciled to God through Christ. Without the Holy Spirit, none of that, of course, can happen. I can't do any of this on my own. I can't do any of it without Christ. I can't do any of it without the Holy Spirit. And I can't do any of it without being part of a fellowship. I could be like the Desert Fathers, but it might not do mission a great deal of good, in a practical sense. The law cannot save of its own. Only faith in Jesus Christ can save. And the law is now very, very simple and very clear. The law is to love God, to love my neighbor, and to be part of the already, but not quite yet, kingdom of God. Wonderful. All is fine then. Well, yeah. But I've got several responsibilities. I've still got to do my best, however little that might be. I've got to do that knowing that I often fail. I don't think I'm the only one either. I've got to exercise some self-discipline. That for me, that's something I find quite hard and restrained. I've actually got to love the people around me. Even when some of them I really don't like them at all, you know. I'd much rather spend my time being with other people than some of those. I'm not known for being particularly tolerant. And I'm not known for being particularly patient. Those things I've got to work on. I've also got to be salt and light in my community. And I can't do any of that without knowing and accepting that I'm totally helpless without Jesus and the Holy Spirit and other people in my life. And so there are lots of practical applications, and you've heard enough from me. If you wouldn't mind turning to a neighbor or behind or in front, whatever you please, could you please have a think about the practical or the ethical applications of all of this? Ebola. Ooh, you've just come back from West Africa. Are you sure you haven't got Ebola? Yes, I am, thanks. Anyway, it's a curse from God, isn't it? Ebola. Is it? What, the same as AIDS? Or famine? Really? Not so simple. Or homosexuality. What do I do the day a couple of homosexuals walk in here? How do I react when I'm on the door? how do we react as the body of Christ? Am I going to be judgmental, or am I going to try, without being patronizing, there's another nasty word, to somehow, that wonderful expression, love the sin and don't condone, love the sinner, sorry, and don't condone the sin. Very, very difficult. And then poverty, have I got a responsibility with that? Social justice. Oh, I don't like the way they do communion in the Methodist church. Do they anyway? Is it really communion? Or baptism? Why do we call it the Eucharist in some places and communion or breaking bread in another place? Tithing? And lots of other things I could have mentioned and haven't. So could you please just turn to the person next to you for 2 or 3 minutes and see what you make of some of those. I've got 3 minutes left. After you. Observing the law is very laudable. It's a good thing to do. But it's not enough. Without faith in Christ, it amounts to nothing in the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of God is not really going to take place, or not really going to happen quite as quickly, unless I become passionate for the unity of the church. Unless I somehow lay aside my social, cultural, ethnic, and a host of other things, preferences. Thank you very much. Bless you.